Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, June 19, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Four former First Ladies take issue with separating kids from families at the border. Also on the rundown, Nebraska struggles to deliver summer meals for kids. And there are resilient rural counties in the USA. Topping our news, Rosalynn Carter added her voice to the choir of political figures speaking out against the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy. Time reports all four living First Ladies have now publicly come out against the controversial policy, which separates children from their parents as families try to cross the border into the U.S. Time says that Carter called the practice of removing children from their parents disgraceful and a shame to our country. The old saying goes that sunlight is the best disinfectant. A new bill in the Michigan legislature would shine a light on big companies that pay their workers so little that they qualify for government-funded health care.
House Bill 6146, the Fair Share Health Care Disclosure Act, would require the State Department of Health and Human Services to publish an annual list of the 50 companies with the most employees on Medicaid. State Representative Patrick Green says taxpayers end up footing the bill when companies skimp on wages and benefits.
And if those benefits are not being provided by the employer and then transferred over to the state, how do I then balance between corporate tax rates versus fighting for the working public?
Green says the list would be particularly useful for lawmakers deciding whether to give corporate tax breaks. He notes last session the legislature approved several corporate tax cuts, then recently established a work requirement for Medicaid recipients. Opponents of the bill say it isn't helpful to publicly shame companies that may be struggling to pay a living wage. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Michigan's minimum wage is set to increase to $10 an hour next year. And the state of Nebraska continues to rate near the bottom compared to other states for getting nutritious meals to kids when school cafeterias close for the summer. Eric Alatis reports that's according to a new report from the Food Research and Action Center.
Sometimes families don't know about summer meal programs or can't get to a meal site. Eric Saviano with the group Nebraska Appleseed says there's a lot of room for improvement. He notes summer meal programs are a critical bridge for many kids, especially from families that rely on free and reduced price breakfast and lunch during the school year.
But we know that hunger does not quit when schools are out. So these summer food service sites are critical to helping kids stay healthy over the summer and just keep kids moving and active.
Last year, fewer than 10% of Nebraska kids who relied on school lunches received summer meals. Saviano says the state is working to address the issue, and 350 sites are now serving meals, up from 245 last year. They include schools, recreation centers, libraries, YMCAs, churches, and parks, and are free for ages 18 and under. Organizations that want to help serve meals should contact the Nebraska Department of Education. I'm Eric Galatis.
The report found nationwide just 3 million kids ate a nutritious summer lunch on an average weekday last year. That's compared to 20 million kids who participated in the school lunch program. Saving Energy in Arkansas is giving the state money to spend in its economic sector. Stephanie Carson reports today industry experts will join local and state leaders at the Arkansas Energy Performance Contracting Summit taking place in Little Rock.
The AEPC program has saved public entities in the state more than $120 million since 2014 and enables municipalities, universities, and state agencies to improve energy efficiency with no upfront cost. Katie Niebaum with the Arkansas Advanced Energy Association says tomorrow's summit is expected to generate additional projects in future years.
It's really been a success story here in Arkansas that is creating jobs, saving taxpayer dollars, and conserving energy.
According to the Arkansas Advanced Energy Foundation, nearly 700 companies employing 16,000 Arkansans are employed in the advanced energy economy, which aims to reduce the energy requirement needed to sustain the same level of service. The effort is made possible by the 2013 Guaranteed Energy Cost Savings Act that allows public entities to pursue energy performance contracts that will maximize the energy used by the state.
And finally, the population in rural counties in states like South Dakota continues to decline, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. But Ross Brown reports some rural towns are finding ways to boost resilience and keep young people from moving to larger cities.
Jessica Schad with South Dakota State University studies rural population patterns and says rural communities are not homogenous. According to her research, the most resilient communities are those with the lowest income disparity and those with employers who put profits back into the community by investing in their schools or sports teams.
That has a really important role to play in making it feel like it's a good place for people to live and that it's still a place with a high quality of life.
U.S. Census Bureau data showed more than 160 South Dakota rural communities had either flat or declining populations between 2010 and 2017. I'm Roz Brown.
Schad notes that declining rural populations also affect politics, noting that Republican votes for President Trump were highest in places undergoing the most significant economic transitions. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsom & Cruiser with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.